Would you please turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. This verse is very much like Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. The two verses go well together. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let's pray together as we prepare to study. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your glorious power. Help us to understand today from your word how you want to use your power through us to accomplish your purposes. Pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. The strongest man in the world is Brian Shaw. He's 6'8" tall, weighs 425 pounds. He's a pretty big man. He's the only man to lift 6 stones in quick succession, each weighing from 300 to 425 pounds. He holds the stone lift record of 550 pounds. He holds the current record in deadlift of 946 pounds. And he holds the world record in carrying 1,050 pounds up a 32-foot incline ramp in 10 seconds. That's one strong man. But God has something to say about this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Because there is something else that profits much more than strong muscles. Would you go to hold your place there. We'll be back and forth to this particular verse. This is our text, but we're going to be jumping around a lot of different places this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. As we study this year, 2 Corinthians 4:16, as we study this year under the theme, Power for Living, there is this principle that we must understand. We're not talking about physical power, we're talking about spiritual power that relates to the inner man. And it is possible for our inner man to go in exactly the opposite direction of our outer man. For notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." In other words, as our bodies grow increasingly weaker, at the very same time, our inner being can grow increasingly stronger. Thus, we have this potential in our lives as believers, as expressed in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I want to talk to you a little bit about our inner man so that we can understand what we are talking about. Our inner being consists of two parts, soul and spirit. We have a soul. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." You go back to Genesis chapter 2, where man is created, and God made man of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. There are various places that speak of the soul. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. But we also have a spirit. Job 32 verse 8 says, but there is a spirit in man. And Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us that God is the one who formeth the spirit of man within him. But the soul and the spirit are distinct. Both are parts of our inner being, but they are distinct parts. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word of God is key to our understanding the difference between the soul and spirit. A lot of people struggle with this. Even some theologians are called dichotomists. They call themselves dichotomists because they believe there are only two parts to man, body and spirit. And they say the soul and the spirit are the same thing. However, here we see that the Word of God makes a distinction between the soul and the spirit. And so we call ourselves trichotomists, believing in the three parts of man, body, soul, and spirit. And you see all of the three of those in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Where it says, in the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, there are two parts to our inner being, and they each have a distinct function. The soul is that part of man which gives man a horizontal focus and gives him a consciousness of his relationship with this world. There are a number of places in the Old Testament that speak of the soul that eats, which shows a connection, a direct connection between the soul and the body. The soul that eateth of it. Numerous statements in the law and the Old Testament. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 20. I'll show you that verse. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 20 says, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border, as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. Now your body can become hungry, but it's in your inner being that you have desires for particular kinds of foods. Your body only needs food, whatever it is, to provide energy. It's true that everybody's taste buds can be different, but by and large, that has to do with what we learned to eat when we were growing up. But it's in your soul where you see that banana split, smothered in all those toppings and the whipped cream and the cherry on top, where your soul begins to lust after certain things, or that big juicy steak or mashed potatoes. There are other verses in Scripture where it tells us how the soul is related to the things of this earth. The soul relates particularly to the body and gives us that horizontal focus. But the spirit has a vertical focus. And our spirit is the part of our inner being with which we connect with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward?" The spirit has this vertical perspective. And in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." And Job 32:8 says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." Thus, when a man is unsaved and he is dead in his trespasses and sins, it is his spirit that is dead, and he is without God and without hope in this world, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. But when a person is born again, it is his spirit that comes alive, and now as a new creature, he has a vertical perspective he never had before, and he has a connection directly with God by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. So that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, "The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Did you ever find money on the ground? Penny? Dime? Quarter? What's the most you ever found on the ground? Found a $10 bill. You found a 20? Oh, you're ahead of me. If you keep your eyes focused on the ground, you might find money. But if your eyes are always focused on the ground, you might not see that car that's coming. You have to look up. If the only focus you have as an unsaved person is the earth, it will be hazardous to your eternal condition. And the soul can only look on the earth. And all unsaved persons whose only focus they have is this earth are in danger of eternal death. You have to have a living spirit to look up. And when you are born again, you have that living spirit. And with that comes the hope of eternal life. We have an inner being, two parts, soul, spirit. Soul relating to the earth, spirit relating to God. So in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, when he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He is putting together the soul and spirit. We need to be strengthened in both our soul and our spirit so that we can glorify God both in our soul and our spirit, so that as we look upon things on this earth, we have the power we need to live here, and as we relate to God, we have the power we need to be prepared for what is to come in Him in eternity. Now look at that verse, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. There are four parts that I want to consider from it. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. That word might is an interesting word because it conveys the idea of being able to do. This is the be able part. And it's found in numerous places in the New Testament. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13? First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That's the same Strong's number, same Greek word that we find in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 that's translated might. In this case, there is something that we are not able to do. But the verse continues, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able, same word, to bear it. What he wants to do is to strengthen us in our inner being with might. That is the be able part. We are not able in ourselves, but he can make us so that we are able. God plants in us the be able ability. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Be able. He wants us to be able to do what needs to be done. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Are the wiles of the devil ever going to be projected in your direction? How will you stand against them? God provides armor to strengthen us to be able. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able. That you can have the might within you that makes it possible for you to withstand in the evil day. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, God can make us able because God is able. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able to do that. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we have this wonderful statement regarding God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do all things. And he wants to put that might in us. He wants to strengthen us with might. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. To be strengthened with might. Well, what's the strengthening part? The verb to be strengthened with is in the passive voice. This is not something that we can do for ourselves. It is something that must be done for us and to us. We cannot have might. We cannot have the element of being able in and of ourselves. It can only come from God. And he does work in us. You're familiar with Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun a good work in you, and part of that work that he has begun and will continue to perform until Jesus comes is this strengthening us, this fortifying us with might, the be able part. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, in order for that to happen, we must acknowledge our weaknesses. You know this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. That God chose the weak to confound the strong. Remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27? "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." One of the songs that we sang this morning, we were not that familiar with. And I came across that in the hymn book and saw the words. Mr. Collins used to do this a lot. He'd find a song that had wonderful words, and we'd sing it, and never had sung the song before. "Thou art calling me, Lord Jesus, as thy living witness here. Only by thy life within me can I any witness bear. Thou art calling me, Lord Jesus, to be working one with thee. Only by thy life within me can there any service be. Thou art calling me, Lord Jesus, to prevailing power in prayer. Only by thy life within me I thy intercession share. Thou art calling me, Lord Jesus, to a victor's holy life. Only by thy life within me is there conquest in the strife. Only by the power of God, because he has chosen us who are weak. We don't have the be able within ourselves. We have to accept that before we will ever be able to yield to the might with which God himself wants to fortify us. The divine might, his might. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul speaking, and he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength." This is what God is saying to Paul. He said unto me, that God speaking to Paul, God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength," God's strength, "is made perfect in" what? Weakness. So Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." We must always acknowledge our total dependence upon God. Jesus said this in John chapter 15 and verse 5, "For without me ye can do" what? nothing. So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the strengthening in our lives. The Apostle Paul was the end of his life. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me. But in the very next verse, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And He strengthens us with that verse that we have noted a couple of times already this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, strengthened with might according to His glorious power. Let's look at that verse because there's something that we need to see there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto what? Patience and long suffering. Not muscles, not physical energy. Do you know that in your weakest physical condition, you can still be strong in your inner man because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, who strengthens you according to His glorious power, with all might, unto the character qualities that are necessary to be successful in this life. A bow, as in a bow and arrow, a bow has might. It is able to shoot an arrow. But that might has to be released. You put the arrow on the string and you pull the string. That is still only potential energy. It is only when you release it that power is demonstrated and the arrow goes flying. God puts His might in us, the able part, and the Holy Spirit is the one who releases it. As we yield to Him, when we will recognize our own weakness and inability to do anything and submit ourselves unto the working of the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit will release that power within us so that we can be patient when we need to be patient, and we can be long-suffering when we need to be long-suffering. You know, it is often the case. I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe you don't know this. But it is often the case that preachers are tested on the subject of the sermon they are in the process of preparing. And this one hit me this week. You know, my body has been weak of late and dealing with a great deal of pain. And if you succumb to the sensations of the flesh, it can wear you down. And you can become irritable. Please pray for my wife. And there was a point about the middle of this week when I was working on this sermon that it hit me. I don't have to give in to the sensations of this pain and not have the inner strength that God wants to release in me. You see, this all takes place in the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit does the work in the inner man. This power will not make you the world champion's strongest man. This might will not give you the ability to carry 1,000 pounds up a 32-foot ramp in 10 hours, let alone 10 seconds. But this power will give you the ability to be troubled on every side, yet not distressed. To be perplexed, but not in despair. To be persecuted, but not forsaken. To be cast down, but not destroyed, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This might, released by the Holy Spirit in your inner man, will give you the ability to express all of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. In spite of the condition of your body, your soul and your spirit can still express the fruit of the Spirit. This might released by the Holy Spirit within you will give you the ability to access all of the things that pertain to life and godliness in 2 Peter chapter 1. Faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And this might released within you by the Holy Spirit will make you a vessel that God can use effectively in expressing the spiritual gifts. As he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit withal. Whether you're an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or involved in ministry or exhortation or giving or ruling or administration or showing mercy or faith or helps, the Holy Spirit can use you to do any one of those things, regardless of the condition of your physical body, because all of this takes place in the inner man. This power will give you the ability to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your wife as Christ loved the church, to love your husband and bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to count it all joy in diverse temptations, to glory in infirmities, and to take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, knowing that when you are weak, then you are strong in the Lord, and in spite of the physical condition of your body, you can be strengthened with the power of His might to do all of these things. There are so many things in life for which physical strength does you little or no good. Muscles don't do you much good when patience is required. The ability to lift 1,000 pounds won't help much when temperance is required. All that physical strength won't be of any assistance when what you really need to do is love your neighbor as yourself, or love your enemies and bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. or when we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses, high places, or when we need to stand against the wiles of the devil or quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Muscles won't do you any good. What you need is to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's the be able part. And when he fortifies us with the be able part, we can do all of those things. This is what the Holy Spirit will do for you if you will yield to him. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. If we yield to the Holy Spirit, if we yield to God, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, he will strengthen you with might in your inner man. He will fortify you with the ability to be able to do all that needs to be done, to serve the Lord, and to be faithful to him. And all of this, in spite of the condition of our physical being, in our inner man, we can be strong in the Lord all the time. Fill me, Holy Spirit, fill me. More than fullness, I would know. I'm the smallest of thy vessels. Yet I much can overflow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder of what you can do. You are able to do this. You are able to strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man. Lord, help us to acknowledge before you our own weakness. Give us this chant within us: I can't do it, but God can through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.